Good morning. Happy Tuesday to you. I'm Gary Zimek. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Thanks so much for joining us on the program today. We've got some special things in store for you on the show, but let's kick it off as we do each day in prayer. Let's remember that we are, no matter where we are, in the presence of God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. They are with us wherever we are, and they're about to hear what we have to say. So let's begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for giving us this new day. You know, Father, sometimes we forget to say thank you. We come to you with all kinds of problems. We start grumbling. We start complaining. First thing, let's make our first thoughts, our first words, one of gratitude. Thank you for giving us this new day. You know what? You've never given up on us. You've given us chance after chance after chance. You're always with us. You always love us. And I think that deserves our thanks. So we thank you for that. We ask you for the strength to make it through today. Let's just focus on one day, today. Help us to avoid falling into sin. Help us to avoid judging other people. Help us to avoid negativity. Help us to avoid becoming hopeless, because we know with you all things are possible. And help us to be able to share your love with those around us today, our family, our friends, our coworkers, our fellow students, people we run into in the grocery store. Help us to share that love with those around us. And Father, I ask you to speak through all of us at the station today so that your voice can go forth over the airwaves and open our minds and our hearts so that we can listen and be receptive to your message. We ask for these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Dave Parker, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
I'm good. Sometimes I get lost in that prayer. You know, I don't really know what I'm going to say. Frank Eliason, good morning.
Good morning.
It's just amazing that when we pray, how you just feel different. You kind of feel hopeful. And if you really pause to think and not just say the words, and we'll hear more about this in the gospel, if you think about the Lord's listening, he's sitting there saying, all right, I'm ready. What do you need?
It's an intimacy that, you know, if you're really, truly praying from the heart, you know, it becomes an intimacy with God, with the people that you're including. Mm-hmm. You know, I try and talk to Mary. I try and talk to certain saints. Mm-hmm. And it becomes an intimate conversation with them. I think sometimes we get caught up in the words of certain prayers, mm-hmm. and it must be this structure, and it should be a conversation, in my view.
And do you feel it gets easier? I mean, initially it feels a little strange, but you know, you
always sometimes I think they're going to send me in a padded cell if someone saw what I was doing.
Well, that's the key, right?
Well,
right,
always,
Dave. Don't you feel it gets easier over time? Yeah.
Like, what if people saw me mumbling?
Oh, I know.
Or walking the street, but you're praying. You're deep in prayer. Yeah, sometimes that happens.
You're praying to a real person, and I think sometimes we forget that we are praying to a real person, and we should talk to that real person as if that person is real, and God is real. He wants to hear us, and he's listening to us. On the program today, we're going to be joined by Dr. John Bergsman. I have a couple things I want to say. We will be doing something unusual on the show today, something that we don't typically do. First of all, Dr. Bergsman will be here. We're going to continue our discussion about his book, Bible Basics for Catholics. And in that book, we have been discussing the story of Abram. And I really am going to slow it down today because I want to make sure that we stay on this topic and we talk about Abram and how his life applies to our lives as well. He, of course, went on to become Abraham, but initially, he was known as Abram. So we're still talking about him when he was known as Abram. We'll get into all that. But I think you want to stick around for this because Dr. Bergsman and I, we've been talking back and forth about this, and we're going to get into some details that you may have missed about the story of Abram. Also on the program, I don't think I've ever done this before in all the time we've been on the air. We've been on the air since October of last year. what I do for the majority of my career is I go out and I speak about the Bible. I go and talk one-on-one about the Bible. I evangelize. I'm going to sit down with you in the second segment. I purposely didn't book a guest. I have some things that the Lord laid on my heart. I was saying some prayers yesterday. I'm going to invite you to get your Bible, to get it out. You'll need it for Dr. Bergsma as well, but get it out, and I'm going to share a little story with you, just one-on-one, you and me, Dave and Frank. They've got other things to do. They won't be in the studio. It's just going to be us. Grab some coffee, and we're going to chat about some things. And if you like what you hear, if you like this, we're going to try to work maybe this into the show more. I just feel I need to do this. So stick around for that, and it's a message that I feel the Lord wants me to share with you. It's going to be based on sacred scripture. Dave, how's your mic doing?
I don't know. How does it?
Got a report that your mic is a little fuzzy.
There was something going on with that.
Well,
and Frank is assiduously working on it.
All right. That's worked out. Also, want to mention before I get Frank's input on something, we've got some special programs coming up later in the week. Tomorrow, I discussed this earlier. We got a commitment from the EWTN Franciscan Friars to do a monthly segment, which is really cool that they're willing to do this. Father Mark Mary will be on with us tomorrow. Father Mark's going to join us in the morning at 7:35 to share some thoughts. On Thursday, Johnette Benkovic's going to be joining us.
Good.
There are some things I've been wanting to ask Johnette, some things that we've talked about off the air involving the Holy Spirit. So I asked her to come on. We're going to chat a little bit about some things. And the final, and these are guests that I let the Holy Spirit lead me with the guests. And I don't book them too far in advance. I felt, this is an interesting one on Friday. Recently on Facebook, I shared my appearance on the journey home. I sat down with Marcus Grote, and I was on the journey home a couple years ago. And I was getting a lot of comments that, we didn't know you were a convert. And I'm not a convert. I'm somebody who was lukewarm and who had a personal encounter with Christ finally, and it changed my life. Well, Matt Swaim, the communications director for the Coming Home Network, jumped in to the thread, and he nailed it. He talked about many people that they deal with at the Coming Home Network are people who have been in the pew for years but didn't have a real personal encounter with Jesus that changed everything for them until they've been in the Catholic Church for decades. So I don't think a lot of people realize there are many people like me out there in the Coming Home Network, and they deal with a lot of people like that. So I invited Matt to come on the program.
Well,
on Friday.
I was going to say, Gary, I mean, there are those converts like myself from Lutheranism, but you're referring to maybe cradle Catholics that I knew a lot of, and I still know a lot as I'm in the Catholic Church now. But it's possible that all our lives we have converted. We can convert from our lukewarm state to get on fire. You know, there's that kind of conversion. So it's a nuance.
And sometimes people refer to it as reversion. But that's with people who have fallen away and left the church and come back. But I never fell away. I was just lukewarm. So I thought Matt would be a good guest to come on to talk about that. So he's going to join us on Friday. And in addition, our friend Tony Agnese will be here tomorrow to talk about what do we do when we don't have time to pray. Thursday, Chris Bell will join us from Good Counsel Homes to give us some updates about what's going on there in our pro-life segment. So, got lots of good things. And also, one final piece of news. Father Thomas Daly has been on with us in the past. Father holds the John Cardinal Foley Chair of Homiletics and Social Communications at St. Charles Borromeo Seminary. He has written a book called Live Today Well. We had him on about the book. He's committed to a regular monthly segment, which is a big deal because he's very busy. So he's going to be with us starting next month. Got lots of stuff coming on. Frank, we were talking before the show about the fact that you've been in a Mother Angelica mood lately.
I have.
And contemplative.
I think we get that way
at times.
Which
is great because Mother's responsible for this station being founded many years ago.
Exactly. And part of that move, one of the things we've been doing at 4 o'clock is giving people a chance to discover programs that they may not have heard. Well, today at 4 o'clock, because of my mood, it's not going to be as much about discovery, but we're actually going to play Mother Angelica Live, which does air Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. But we're going to air last week's program today at 4. So you have a chance today to get two programs in if you haven't heard Mother Angelica.
It's a twofer, huh?
Exactly. Okay, so our 4 o'clock program, The Jukebox, is actually designed to discover new things.
Yes.
But one of the things I wanted to share, and I thought this was highly relevant to what we try and do here at Spirit in the Morning, is in Raymond Arroyo's new book, there's obviously tons of quotes and tons of information about Mother Angelica. But this quote stood out at me this morning. "The actions of your enemy are nothing compared to what you're doing to yourself because of his actions. Your memory is so filled with anger and hurt feelings that it cannot hold anything good. But if you show mercy and forgiveness towards your enemies, you can blamelessly live in the present, and God will take care of the rest."
Wow.
Okay, I'm going to follow that up with the gospel, because I think it's a perfect match. And I love the way the Holy Spirit's doing this. I mean, this is pretty obvious if you're listening that we are letting the Holy Spirit guide this show. Listen to today's gospel, Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. "Some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, 'Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They do not wash their hands when they eat a meal.' He summoned the crowd and said to them, 'Hear and understand. It is not what enters one's mouth that defiles the man, but what comes out of the mouth is what defiles one.' Then his disciples approached and said to him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?' Jesus said in reply, 'Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. If the blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit.'" Okay, I talked earlier about the fact that I was lukewarm. I thought I was a really good Catholic, though, because I went to church every week. Mm-hmm. That's all I did. I didn't live it. I didn't practice it. I went to church and then went out and did what I wanted, didn't treat people especially nicely, didn't pray that much. Frank, what you said is really important, and what Jesus says is important. It's more important. We've got to follow the rules. We've got to obey what the church teaches, but we better be living it out there. Otherwise, we're hypocrites.
Amen, brother.
Let's keep that in mind. When we come back, Dr. John Bergsman, we're going to be talking about Abram.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for August 8th. Today we celebrate Saint Dominic. Today's saint was known for his preaching skills, but Dominic didn't always rely on words to get a point across. In the early 13th century, Father Dominic was commissioned to be part of the Church's preaching crusade against the Albigensian heresy. Its many followers regarded created matter as evil. Their idea of perfection called for a very strict diet and abstinence from sexual intimacy. Though extreme, their beliefs and values were popular because they provided such a great contrast to the corrupt lifestyle of most of the clergy. To reach the people, Dominic adopted an austere lifestyle, traveling barefoot as he preached from place to place. After 10 years of continuous preaching, he was successful in reclaiming ordinary people to Catholicism, though not the Albigensian leaders. The order of preachers began when Dominic founded a religious house at Toulouse, France, where he and his fellow preachers gradually became a community. In 1221, Dominic died shortly after delivering his final sermon to the Dominican brothers. He was canonized 13 years later. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
If you ever need home care or companionship service, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433. Angel Army provides compassionate and loving care to those who want independence and the comfort of their home. Angel Army serves Bucks County, Montgomery County, and the Philadelphia area, and can be reached at 215-805-8433.
More inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Stirring me a love that's deep, a love that's wide, a love that's sweet. And help me, Lord, to never keep it to myself. And if my heart should dimly burn, and if my feet should fail to run, call my name and I will come right back to you. 'Cause there's no to myself. And if my heart should dimly burn, and if my feet should fail to run, call my name and I will come right back to you. 'Cause there's no
welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was No Fear in Love by Stephanie Gretzinger. I'm Gary Zimak. The time right now is 7:18. Well, over the past few weeks, we have been discussing the story of God's covenant with Adam, with Noah, and with Abraham. We've been discussing these with our friend Dr. John Bergsma, who is a full professor of theology at Franciscan University of Steubenville. He's written a book called Bible Basics for Catholics, A New Picture of Salvation History. And Dr. Bergsma is back with us today to continue that discussion. Dr. John Bergsma, good morning, my friend.
Hey, Gary, good morning to you.
Hey, I am excited today because I got inspired, John. It doesn't always happen, but I got inspired with this story of Abram. You know, at the point we left off, he's still referred to as Abram. His name hasn't been changed yet. And I thought, I really want to slow this down because this is a guy, to me, who is very important because I felt that I was called approximately 6 years ago to get involved in full-time ministry after working 30 years as a software developer. So, I mean, this is a pretty big call. And it's been, John, it's been day by day. And I right. can really relate to this story of Abram being told by God, okay, come on, let's go, bring your family. And he didn't really know where he was going. So, I mean, that's a powerful story, isn't it?
It is. It is. And, you know, you're right in seeing Abram as very important because St. Paul makes the same point. Mm. And when we read in St. Paul's letters, when when he tries to explain the gospel to Jewish people, he keeps going back to Abram and saying, it's really all there in a nutshell. And I would agree that the whole gospel story is hidden in the life of Abraham.
Wow. And so with that in mind, I wanted to ask you some questions that we first hear of him. The call occurs in Genesis chapter 12. He's 75 years old at the time when the Lord calls him. I mean, that's retirement age.
Right.
But he went.
Yeah, one heck of a retirement.
Yeah.
Right.
He went, and there's no indication that the Lord said where he was going. Now, the question I wanted to ask you today is, right in that Genesis chapter 12, after he went, he followed the Lord, we're told in verse 10, there was a famine in the land, so Abram went down to Egypt, for the famine was severe in the land. Now, when he got to Egypt, he told his wife, all right, you have to say that you're my sister. Here's what I'm concerned about. Abram was following the Lord. The Lord said, let's go, and he went.
Right.
Was Abram trying to take matters into his own hands here because there's a famine? Or should he have prayed about it and said to the Lord, Lord, you got me here. Please take care of me. Can you maybe shed some light on your thoughts on this matter?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think it is when it is a matter of Abram trying to use the means that he was accustomed to.
Okay.
To providing for himself. And when we read the story of Abraham from Genesis 12 through about 24,
mm-hmm.
what we see there is Abram gradually unlearning the kind of coping strategies, as it were, that he used to employ to take care of himself, as it were.
Oh, okay.
Learning increasingly to trust on God until the ultimate point of trust where he trusts God even with the life of his son and heir, Isaac.
Yeah.
In Genesis 22. And so, yeah, Gary, I agree with you. I think Abram, rather than employing supernatural means and employing supernatural faith, he's like, well, you know, in the past when I got into these scrapes, you know, I went somewhere where there wasn't famine, and I passed my sister off as my wife,
and
that usually worked out. It's kind of like a little con scheme that, you know, he does this again, you know, later on.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a process of trying to unlearn these kind of unsanctified ways that we use in life to get along, and that's the journey of faith.
How do we know, John? How do we know where to draw the line? You know, God expects us to do what we can, to do things, everything in our power, and then depend on him for help. Is there a rule of thumb that we can use to know, well, now it's time to just let the Lord do his thing? I've done all that I can?
Right. There are. I mean, certainly the major rule of thumb is the moral law.
Okay.
First of all, we know that when we're searching for options in our life, the one thing we can never do is something that's contrary to the Ten Commandments, the twofold law of love, love of God and love of neighbor. And I think, Gary, that a lot of times when we're in scrapes, we are tempted to take a shortcut.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're tempted to fudge the figures on a form. We're tempted to exaggerate our accomplishments on an application. We're tempted in many ways to just let some things slide, you know, so that we don't raise flags or that we grease the skids for ourselves, make things easy for ourselves. And that's that temptation to take matters into our own hands. And sin is always a shortcut, Gary. We see that in the garden. In the garden, it was a shortcut to this remarkable knowledge that the snake promised Adam and Eve. And we got to beware of shortcuts. There's always a problem with them. God's path might at first seem a longer route, but in the end, it's going to get us to that blessedness that we're looking for.
And this is an example of what we're doing. I missed this for years. I missed these details for years, but this is an example of how the Lord speaks to us in the pages of sacred scripture, if we just slow down a little bit. And your book is so helpful in bringing out these facts. And this is not just a biography that we're reading. This story of Abram, the Lord is speaking to each of us through this story, right? And like we're discussing, he's giving us advice. That we're all tempted to take those shortcuts at times.
Exactly. We're all Abraham. He's our father in faith, and he sets the original pattern for the life of faith.
Right. Now, John, we have about 3 minutes left in the segment. If we could, in chapter 13, we're told that Abram and Lot, they decide to separate. And I find this very interesting because Abram, at this point, seems to be confident that the Lord is going to come through because of the fact that he tells Lot, all right, you pick which way you're going to go, and I'll go the other way. Am I on the right track?
You are absolutely on the right track. And we see Lot, you know, kind of slipping into a sort of selfishness because he clearly chooses for himself what appears to be the best.
Yeah.
Not a great moral choice, and it ends up actually backfiring in a big way.
And he, just to refresh our memory, he chose to go where?
Down to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Mm.
yeah,
right.
Good choice.
Oops.
Those cities didn't end up so well.
but it looked on the surface to him, and of course, Abram was Lot was Abram's nephew,
yes.
Right? And he looked at the land and he said, "Well, this looks good. I'm going to go here." But Abram, it's my opinion that Abram began to trust in the Lord, thinking that, well, you know what, you're going to make this work out for me, no matter which place Lot chooses. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And when Abraham gets, you know, the less good land, so to speak, you know, the Lord actually comes to him and speaks to him and says, look, you know, look around, I'm going to give you this land. And, and he consoles Abraham and lets him know it is going to work out.
Wow. It's a great story, John. I really thank you for being on with us. We just have about a minute left in the program. The book is Bible Basics for Catholics, A New Picture of Salvation History by Dr. John Bergsma. If anybody wants to get a copy of the book or maybe invite you out to speak or find out more about your work, John, where is the best place to go online?
Sure. CatholicBibleTeacher.com will get you to my website where there's invite to speak and other resources there, and Ave Maria Press sells the book, and it's also on Amazon.
You are a very busy guy, and I really appreciate you taking the time out to be with us each month. Thank you so much,
John.
You
bet.
God bless you, my friend. Dr. John Bergsma, Bible Basics for Catholics, talking about the story of Abram. Dave, when you really slow it down and you look at what's happening there, there's a lesson for each of us.
Absolutely. Every minute detail. And I'm glad you slowed it down. I like that. I mean, when you were talking to the good doctor, we need to slow it down so we can glean everything. I mean, the richness of each line of Scripture.
Because even if we know about the story of Abram, and his name won't be changed until chapter 17 of Genesis, and we're going to get more into that when Dr. Bergsma comes back. But we know the story, a lot of us do. Abram was called by the Lord to leave his homeland. He did. And then we all know the story of when he sacrificed his son Isaac. But this little pitfall along the way where he tried to take things into his own hands, that often gets overlooked. But that's what you talk about converting every day, which we're all called to do.
Exactly.
This is an example of we all backslide sometimes.
Exactly. And we try to do things ourselves, and then it's not so good many times.
That's right. Now listen, what's coming up next is going to be special. Grab your Bible, grab a cup of coffee. You and me, let's sit down and talk about one of my favorite parables. Stay tuned.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. Lebanon's U.S.-backed military is gearing up for a long-awaited assault to dislodge hundreds of Islamic State militants from a remote corner near the Syrian border. The campaign is seeking to end a years-long threat posed to neighboring towns and villages by the extremists. It'll involve cooperation with the militant group Hezbollah and the Syrian army and the other side of the border, although Lebanese authorities insist they are not coordinating with President Bashar Assad's Syrian government. Pope Francis has sent his condolences to those affected by an attack on a Catholic church in Nigeria on Sunday during Mass, killing at least 11. A A telegram from Vatican Secretary of State Cardinal Pietro Parolin says, quote, deeply saddened to learn of the loss of life and injury following the violent attack in St. Philip's Catholic Church, His Holiness Pope Francis extends heartfelt condolences to you and all the faithful of the Diocese of Inouye, in particular the families of the deceased, and all those affected by this tragedy. Upon the entire diocese, His Holiness willingly invokes the divine blessings of consolation and strength, end quote. And U.S. officials are abandoning plans to require sleep apnea screening for train engineers and truck drivers, and safety experts say it puts the lives of millions of motorists and passengers at risk. The Federal Railroad Administration and Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration said Friday they are no longer pursuing regulations requiring testing for the fatigue-inducing disorder. Sleep apnea has been blamed for deadly rail crashes in New York City and New Jersey and several highway crashes. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
I'm a firefighter.
A teacher.
I'm a farmer.
I'm a barber.
A waitress.
A mom.
We're all part of your community. Every day we move in and out of each other's busy lives.
It's easy to take for granted all the little moments that make up our everyday.
Some are good,
others not so much.
But that's life. It's when you experience a moment of uncertainty. Something or someone's behavior that doesn't seem quite right.
These are the moments to take a pause.
Because if something doesn't feel right, it's probably not.
It's not about paranoia.
Or being afraid.
It's about standing up and protecting our communities.
One detail at a time.
Because a lot of little details can become a pattern.
We trust our instincts.
Just like you should.
Because only you know what's not supposed to be in your everyday.
So protect your everyday.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. During what he calls his extended bachelorhood, Joel Schmidt learned to cook and eventually used his culinary skills to win over his wife Lisa. When she came down with a nasty cold during their first year of marriage, he found a recipe online for Italian chicken soup, which includes fennel seeds that are good for respiratory infections. In the years since then, that recipe has changed a bit based on his and Lisa's preferences, and Joel has come to see the soup as a great analogy for marriage. He says, "It's changed over the years, but by making adjustments and working through conflicts, it has continued to improve. Rather than getting old, staying the same, and losing interest, it instead remains ever fresh and new, always satisfying and fulfilling." This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
You are listening to Spirit. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Letting go of every single dream, I lay each one down at your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what you see. I've tried to win this war, I confess. My hands are weary, I need your rest. Mighty warrior, king of the fight, no matter what I face, you're by my side. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers, as I cry, tomorrow brings. There's not a day yet you have not seen us. So in all things be my life and bread. I want what you want, Lord, and nothing less. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move.
And that's Trust in You by Lauren Daigle. Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek. Thanks so much for hanging out with us today. Well, it's just you and me. Everybody left the studio. Hope you have a cup of coffee. Hope you have your Bible. We are going to chat about one of my favorite parables. Before I do that, let's look at the weather. Currently in Philadelphia at the Philadelphia International Airport, 69 degrees. Tonight, mostly clear, low around 63. Tomorrow, Wednesday, sunny, high near 84. Wednesday night, we'll have mostly clear skies with a low around 66. Currently in Phoenixville, 65 degrees. In Mount Laurel, New Jersey, 68 degrees. And in Wilmington, Delaware, we have 67 degrees. All right, this is just you and me. We're going to chat about one of my favorite parables. And listen, if you like what we're doing here, let me know. We'll work more of this into the program. This is what I love to do when I go out and speak. I lead my parish missions. I do retreats. I do talks. I open my Bible, and I just love to talk about the Bible. I do this on my podcast at night. So now, it's just the two of us. We're going to chat about the parable of the talents. If you have a Bible, this is going to be Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. Why did I decide to do this? Well, I was praying my rosary the other day, as I do on the drive up and back, and the idea popped into my head that I need to talk about this. Why? I'm not sure, but I think we all need to hear this message. It's a tough message. It's a message from Jesus that keeps me going, because in 2012, when I got laid off and moved from the software industry into full-time ministry, there have been many days when I just wanted to pack it in. It's not an easy life. It's a very peaceful life. It's a very rewarding life, but there are challenges. And I have a tendency to be a quitter. I have a tendency to take the easy way out. But when I hear this parable, I'm reminded that I need to keep going. I need to keep going even when it gets tough. And I think all of us need to hear these words. So let's just take a look at it now. Matthew 25, 14. Jesus tells the parable of the talents, and he says this: "For it will be as when a man going on a journey called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, and a talent is a sum of money, but you can also look at a talent as your gift. We all have them. I know you're going to say, I don't have any gifts. Yes, you do. We all have our own individual unique gifts. So the man called his servants, gave them his property. One he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability." What's the first takeaway from this? We are all gifted in some way. Some people may have more talent, more gifts than others. Don't worry about other people. Worry about the talents, the gifts, whatever it is you have. And it could be money. We all have different sums of money. That money doesn't belong to us. It really ultimately belongs to the Lord, but he gives it to us. Remember, all money, no matter where you work, your salary ultimately comes from God. We forget that sometimes. So we're all gifted in some way, financially or maybe not financially, maybe with some sort of spiritual talents, spiritual gifts. So then the man went away after he gave these talents to people, these sums of money. "Now he who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug it in the ground and hid his master's money." Now, I'm the type of guy who likes to play it safe. That's my nature. So I can see myself being this servant, the guy who my master gives me 1 coin, I'm going to hide it because I don't want anything to happen to it. I think sometimes that happens with the gifts that we have. The gifts that the Lord has given us. Well, you know, I don't want to take a chance. I'm afraid to go and volunteer at church. I'm afraid to talk to that person. I'm afraid to pray with somebody because I'm going to look stupid. We all sometimes like to not leave our comfort zone, right? It seems like a reasonable thing for many of us. All right, now, after a long time, we're told, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, "Master, you delivered me 5 talents. Here, I've made 5 talents more." His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Now here, if you see what's happening, these people in the story, they are using their talents, what has been entrusted to them, to the best of their ability. Even if I don't have much money, spiritual talents, whatever, if I'm using them, if I'm using what I have been given to the best of my ability, the moral of the story is we'll be rewarded. I can't be expected to give more than I have, but I have to do the best with what's entrusted to me. All right, now we get down to the guy who buried his talent in the ground. His master said, he also had, who had received the 1 talent, came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not winnow. So listen to this part. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours. Now, honestly, that sounds reasonable to me. I didn't lose anything. I didn't mess up. Here's what happened. But his master answered him, and you better fasten your seatbelts for this part. You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sowed and gather where I have not winnowed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who has not even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh, great, Gary. Thanks for starting my day off on such a positive note. But here, relax. There's an important message here. Take a look at what happened. The servant who hid the talent, the coin, in the ground, what did he do wrong? The answer, nothing. He did nothing. That's the problem. And that's what he's punished for. And I think that's what we all need to remember. Look, I'm on the air. I do this show every day. I've been given a great gift to be on this radio station and reach many people. I've got to take advantage of that. I've got to keep working. I've got to do my best. And I think that message applies to all of us. I know that message applies to all of us. And the reason I felt compelled to deliver this today was, first of all, because I felt the Holy Spirit was giving it to me. But my job here is to uplift you. My job here is to motivate you. My job is to help you realize that the Lord needs you. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's time for you to contribute, to share some of your money with those in need. Maybe it's time for you to share your talents with those in need. We can't be content just having what we have and burying it in the ground, right? Because we're going to be judged one day. Again, negative. No, it's not negative. What it is, it's motivational. Because too many times, I have wasted years doing nothing, going through the motions. We're gifted. We all have gifts. There are people that need to hear the good news today. And it's up to you and me to deliver that good news. Where? In the store. At work. At home. When you're paying your toll at the bridge. Just be nice to people. Smile. Ask how your day's going. And then maybe a door will open and they'll ask you, well, why are you so positive? Well, let me tell you, I have Jesus in my life, or I go to church, or whatever. It's amazing what will happen. But the key is, the message of Jesus is clear. We've got to share what we have, our gifts with others, our money, our time, our talents. Because the world needs all of us. The world needs all of us to share that good news. The world can be a dark place. And even if you go and put some positive comments on Facebook or Twitter, Instagram, wherever it is, on social media, you can make the world a better place by doing that. And look, we're all going to be judged one day. That's okay. No need to panic. But the reason I tell you that is because we tend to waste minutes, hours, and they turn into days and they turn into years. Today is all that we have. The Lord has given us today. Are we making the best use of what's been entrusted to us? That's the message. Something for all of us to think about. All right, I hope you enjoyed this little segment. I'm going to hear my break music. I hear it right now. So it's time to pack up. I'll be back on the other side, and we'll do the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Stay tuned.
Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Robert Mancini, an attorney with a general practice law firm offering professional excellence and personal service. Robert Mancini can be reached at 215-348-4900. That's 215-348-4900. Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is also made possible by the generous prayer and financial support of listeners like you.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Matthew 14:22, when the disciples on a storm-tossed boat saw Jesus walking toward them on the water, they were fearful. When Jesus calmed them, Peter asked to join him on the water, and Jesus called him forth. But when Peter noticed the force of the wind, he began to sink. Jesus reached out and caught him. "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Peter made the great mistake of taking his eyes off Jesus. Once he centered on the storm, he forgot to trust and began to sink. Now, how often has this happened to us, only without the water? You know what I mean. Those times when our own agendas become more important to us than he does. We begin to sink. He told us in Scripture, "Without me, you can do nothing." The joiner to this is that without him, why would we ever want to do anything? I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
More enjoyable than Scrapple. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Simak.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence I will live. All to Jesus I surrender. Save you, make me holy thine. Let me feel your Holy Spirit. Truly know that you are mine. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, and in His presence I will live. I surrender all. I surrender all.
All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to you. Jesus, I surrender all. No more having my own way. No more chasing yesterday. Jesus, I surrender all.
All to Jesus, I surrender.
I surrender all, casting crowns. There you go. That's a prayer today. Lord, I surrender all to you. Man, hope you enjoyed that last segment. That was fun doing. I lost track of the time. I was just really into the conversation we were having. So I like being able to have that intimate conversation with you over coffee. And by the way, you could have shared some of your Danish with me, but I'm sure I don't have anything to eat here. I'm a little hungry, but we won't go there. The Be Not Afraid Bible verse, very simple, Luke 10:41-42. Martha, the Lord said to her in reply, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her. You know the story of Martha and Mary. What did Martha do wrong? It wasn't that she worked to entertain the Lord to take care of his needs. It's that she let herself become distracted. She lost sight of why she was doing what she was doing. On the other hand, Mary recognized the fact that Jesus was in her midst, her presence. She sat at his feet and listened to him. What's the point? We need to make some time for the Lord every day. And with that in mind, and you know, when you do that, that anxiety that you feel running around when things seem crazy, that anxiety will decrease. Maybe not a lot, but a little bit. But if you're an anxious person by nature, like me, you'll take any peace that you can get. Tomorrow on the show, Tony Agnese will join us. We're going to be talking about the need to find time for prayer. It's really easy, Frank and Dave, to get so caught up with things and so busy that you just don't have time to pray. But we have to make that time.
Maybe it's while you're driving, pay attention to the road and all that stuff. But, you know, having a conversation with God is not that difficult.
Oh, it's not.
So we all have time. It's just finding out where that is. But I think you've made in the Be Not Afraid Bible verse, there's one other key word there. Listen. Take the time not just to say words, but to listen.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's the key.
Sit and listen to those symbols and the signs that are in front of you that you miss. And sometimes that is taking that quiet moment and reflecting on, here's what I had go on for the day. Here's these little things that were there. I think if you did so, you might find the Lord.
Yeah, you know, and Frank, I want to follow up on something. This show is kind of blowing me away right now. You know, this is a really spiritual experience. I mean, we kid around a lot, but when you're driven by the Holy Spirit, and I think we all are all praying about what we should do, who we should have on, etc. This show moved me today because we started out with Dr. Bergsma, and we talked about Abram reading from the Word of God. So the Lord was speaking to us, telling this story. And the story, I think the moral of the story is we need to learn to trust in God's providence, to trust that he's going to be there for us, do what we can, but not try to take things too much into our own hands. And then I follow that up with talking, letting the Lord speak through that parable of the talents, where he's telling us you have to do something with the talents you've been given. But we also have to not take everything into our own hands. We have to trust in his providence. And let him do the heavy lifting, if you will. You know, pray before you do anything and say, well, Lord, let me know what I should do. And then we talked a little bit about Mother Angelica, Frank, and how you have been reading her, the new book by Raymond Arroyo, talking about Mother, trying to look at her life. And here's somebody who absolutely knew Jesus. There was no doubt when you watched Mother and you listened to her speak, she knew Jesus. He was her friend, and she trusted in him. But that's not to say that she didn't have her weaknesses.
I was just going to say that. She did not. It's not that she didn't struggle.
You know? No, she struggled a lot. Yes. And I will also say one of the things she used to do, though, is when she had some type of idea, and you've talked about this many times, she would actually let it go and do it.
Yep.
And if it wasn't God's will, he would stop it.
That's right.
And she would trust in God in that, including the potential of tons of debt and tons of... She didn't have the money to continue going down that path, but she would do it anyway, and figuring if it's God's will, he'll help find a way.
Right.
And that's how EWTN got started. It's how the EWTN radio got started. Mm-hmm. But then there's other stories with her. And as I was listening to you during that last segment, one of the stories that came to my mind was the story when she, before she was Mother Angelica, when she was Rita Rizzo. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she worked in the secular world. Mm-hmm. And on her desk, she had a picture of Jesus. And one of her coworkers was offended by this. How often does that happen today?
I mean, it's, oh, yeah.
You know, they were offended by this.
If you even have a picture of Jesus on your desk today.
Exactly. Right, and, right. And many people would avoid it.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
But she put it out there, and the person was offended by it. And she and Mother Angelica explained to this woman that was offended by it, or this man, I don't even know if it was a man or a woman, but basically explained, you have pictures of the movie stars, you have pictures of the, you know, whatever, musicians, you have pictures of your family, people you love.
Right.
This is who I love.
Wow. Beautiful. And she really did. I mean, she had that personal relationship with Jesus. And she wasn't ashamed of that relationship.
That is correct. But she was not of this life of a perfect, you know, growing up in this perfect scenario and all these other things. Mm-hmm. We're not from a perfect life. Mm-hmm. Yet she found her way and have that relationship. And I think it's you know, upon all of us to find what is, we don't have that perfect life. We may have not have been perfect people. Mm-hmm. You know, find our way to it. Mm-hmm. One of the other stories I loved is the fact that, like, you know, one of the, you know, I've heard her talk about in Mass when she would get distracted.
Mm.
You know, and then I sit there going, whoa, that's happened to me. Wow. Yeah. I always felt guilty every time that happened, and she would offer it up.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so, you know, there's things we could take in everything we do. You know, the beautiful part to her was she was always human. She was not better than me. She was with me.
And that kind of attitude gives me hope. You know, when I look at Mother, I say, wow, there's hope for me. When I look at the apostles, these guys were really imperfect.
That's right.
I feel pretty good about myself.
On that one is great.
That's right. Hey, remember, wherever you go today, whatever you do, you know the Lord's with you, so make sure you turn around and say hi. On behalf of Frank Elias and Dave Parker and everybody at Holy Spirit Radio, this is Gary Zimek saying have a wonderful day, and remember, God loves you. See ya.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating